The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 15, beginning at the 21st verse.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May what I share be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? When we were thinking about our theme for the next 4 weeks, we really didn't think about the set Bible readings. We've been able to find a connection with For the Benefit of Others in the set Gospels without too much trouble. And thankfulness, that's a classic biblical theme. But then I looked at today's Gospel. I really love this passage. I've read some amazing reflections, heard some challenging sermons on the Canaanite woman. And looking back at my old sermons, I even thought one that I preached way back in 2011 was pretty good. Doesn't happen very often when I do that. The problem was that none of the reflections or sermons touched on the theme of thankfulness. So my first inclination was to ditch the gospel and look for another reading. And so I first then went to Romans, which was actually a much longer and slightly confusing passage when read in isolation. But I came across the expression, first fruits. I thought, wow, that's a classic Old Testament Thanksgiving expression. But then I remembered I'd heard so many bad sermons and sermonettes, particularly around stewardship campaigns and offertory messages, which were borderline coercive. So I thought maybe I could find something in the psalm or the Old Testament reading. But something in my spirit said no. You need to wrestle with these two passages and trust that God will bring something out of the wrestling that will be for the benefit of others, and for that you can be thankful. So today is the product of my deep and prayerful wrestling. As I said, I really do love the story of the Canaanite woman because it's just so rich. There's so much to unpack and discover. There's pretty much two main thoughts biblical scholars have. Either this was Jesus testing the woman, or the woman changes Jesus' mind. But there's endless little tangents off those two perspectives. So I was hoping that one of those tangents could be thankfulness. But before I went looking in that direction, I really wanted to dig into this first fruits stuff. To be honest and transparent, we will, over the next 4 weeks, be talking about thankfulness, generosity, and that will include money, amongst other things, of course. Money is by no means the only way you can show thankfulness and generosity. Being honest and transparent, I do know that I, as a priest, theologian, church leader, not to mention still a qualified accountant, need to talk about money in church. I just really don't like doing it. It makes me uncomfortable. And maybe in part at least that's because I've been made to feel uncomfortable by others, which on one level is ironic because we tick all the boxes. We tithe, we support missions, and we can be generous. But we do that because that's something that Leanne and I have prayerfully thought through and not because someone in church has convinced us. I genuinely think it's a response to the thankfulness we have because of our relationship with God. But that hasn't stopped me from cringing when a preacher or speaker or writer mentions first fruits. I mean, I kind of know my Bible. I know that in the Old Testament, first fruits were part of the harvest that people of Israel gave as a thanksgiving offering to God. I also knew, possibly because this was the point that was often brought out in those bad sermon or sermonettes, that first fruits were also the choicest or the best of the batch or the bunch. So the sermonette that bounces around my head goes something like this: before you think of doing anything with your money, make sure you give to God what God requires, demands, and deserves. The rest will take care of itself. Don't you trust God? Don't you have faith? And make sure it's not just the leftovers God gets. You have to give your very best to God. Hasn't God given you God's very best in Jesus? Why would you not give your very best to God? It's the least you can do. Maybe you've heard those types of messages before too. As I was reading my trusty Bible dictionary to confirm what I thought I knew about first fruits, I came across something that I kind of knew but hadn't connected with first fruits. The first was seen as the holiest. You see a strong priority for the firstborn in Scripture. That's one of the reasons the prodigal son's brother is so upset. The property was his to inherit, not his father's to give to his youngest brother. You might remember the story of Jacob swindling his older brother Esau out of his birthright. The first fruit was the holiest. Now, as the firstborn in my family, I would concur that the firstborn of the family is always the holiest. But again, being honest and transparent, I do know that a lot of younger siblings have problems with their oldest brother or sister. And they would recoil at the idea that they were the holy one. I'm sure my sister would think, I lived with him when he was younger. There's no way that he's holier than me. But first fruit was how Israel thought of itself in relationship to God. In comparison to the rest of the world, they were God's first fruits. They were holier. They were privileged. And privilege is in part what Paul is addressing in Romans. Gentile Christians, don't think that you're better than Jewish Christians because you were grafted on and they were broken off. And conversely, Jewish Christians are not more privileged than Gentile Christians because they knew God first. Which got me thinking, what if our first fruits weren't always the best? Paul says, if part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. Which got me thinking about pancakes. Maybe the first fruit isn't always the best or the sweetest. maybe the fruit in the later part of the harvest is sometimes better. Because everyone knows when you're cooking pancakes, the first pancake is always a disaster. Despite this being a universal truth, I still persist in believing that maybe this time the first one will come out perfectly. I should know that I need the first one to fail so that the pan can heat properly, the oil and the butter can sink in better, and the surface can be more receptive. Ultimately, it's a real mystery why it happens, but it seems to be a universal truth. And I try anyway, and I take it as a win if that first one is only a slightly little bit misshapen or under or overdone. When have you ever heard a message that we need to bring those failed first pancakes to God as an offering? Well, today. God is an expert in making magnificence out of mess. Other than Jesus, think of any biblical hero, and they've all got an element of failed first pancake about them. Adam, Abraham, David, Solomon, Job, Jonah, Peter, Thomas, and even Paul himself had deep flaws, failures, weaknesses, imperfections. In many ways, they were not the choicest and the most privileged. Yet see what God did with and in and through them. God is not gender exclusive. Similarly, with Eve, Sarah, Hagar, Tamar, Ruth, Esther, Mary, both Marys, and this Canaanite woman. All in their own way are a bit first pancake. The Canaanite woman was a mess. Not only was she the wrong nationality, she was the wrong gender to approach any Jewish man. What do we do with our first pancake? Set them aside so they're out of public display? Put them on the bottom of the stack hoping no one can tell? Or do we throw them out? Or do we put them on display in full view and as an offering of our thankfulness? Because without that first pancake, we could not have the other pancakes that were so much better. The Canaanite woman would have known she would normally have been shooed away or shunned. She knew what Jews thought of her people. And she also knew that her people thought the same way about the Jews. They were the displaced group by the Jews who thought that their land was the promised land. Yet, in all of her messiness, without privilege or status, she must have felt so thankful that she's come across this Jesus that she'd heard of. So thankful because of what her daughter was experiencing. That maybe, just maybe, something magnificent could happen. I'm absolutely convinced that thankfulness is the origin of lasting generosity. When we're thankful for something or someone, we'll be generous to, for, or because of that thankfulness. But what if we could be thankful for our mess? What if that mess was part of our offering to God? I do believe when and where we can, we should be offering our first and our best to God. But I know more often than not, I'm more likely to feel like I'm a bit of a mess. Less than adequate, ill-equipped, without privilege or status. Do I keep those first pancakes away from God? The Canaanite woman would say no. The God she was expecting to encounter through Jesus wouldn't, in the end, turn her away. She had faith that God would make something magnificent. When we are thankful for every situation we're in, especially when it's a mess, whether it be a cost of living crisis, relationship challenges, uncertain future, a disappointing outcome, or a failed experience, and thankful enough to give it over to God as an offering, what becomes of that? I think, I hope, I believe, and I pray, from first pancake thankfulness comes magnificent generosity. And magnificent generosity will always be for the benefit of others. Amen.